The Africa Report.
The Africa Report with Monsieur Jean-Jacques Cornish. Bonjour, Monsieur.
Bonjour to you, Abs.
Comment ça va?
Ça va très bien comme d'habitude.
Yeah. How do I respond to that again?
Ça va. You just say,
Ça, ça va. Ah, ça va. Okay. So good.
I'm just long-winded. I could just say ça va, ça va.
That's
what the French do there.
Fair. By the way, you would think you're only teaching me in studio. Joe is starting to speak a little bit of French, by the way, sitting next to me here. Yeah, I know. So it's a full-on class that you're giving us. Nonetheless,
fantastic. So I'll make sure that I do my conversation classes so I don't fall behind.
I hear that loud and clear. But you're also talking about studies showing that peacekeeping operations in Africa are in fact working.
You know, Abs, something like three-quarters or in excess of three-quarters of UN peacekeeping operations are in Africa. And there was this factor known as peacekeeping fatigue, people saying, you know, should we really be putting out Africa's fires? And so there was a growing cynicism, but the study shows that armed conflicts are actually down. There are 12 ongoing in Africa, but that's a 38% decrease since the early 90s. So this is both African Union and United Nations. They sometimes work in tandem, and it's United Nations picks up the tab. So those operations are actually working, and that's basically because there's an increased willingness to deploy the peacekeepers there. There have been 40 missions in the United Nations and African Union peacekeeping missions since 2000. You know, some of them, for example, Western Sahara, I can think of, they've been there since the 80s, man. So, you know, and there's sort of a joke that if you'd actually taken the budget for the peacekeeping thing and spread this among the Sahrawi people, they could have bought a new country almost, you know, away from the Moroccans. But I mean, that's clearly not the answer. But the fact is, UN peacekeeping operations in Africa are effective or increasingly effective. Is that good news? Shouldn't we be saying good news is when the conflicts end, isn't it? But nevertheless, When the blue helmets or the green helmets, in the case of the African Union, are required, they do pitch up. It takes time to get there, and so you know, so it's a complex operation, but they are working.
And I was just about to say, talking to that though, Al Shabaab once again involved in some of their operations.
You know, in one in Bulahawa, they attacked the police station and an army base. The authorities say 8 people were killed. Al-Shabaab themselves are saying, no, 30 people were killed. But the soldiers actually fled across the border into Mandera. And there they were treated in the Kenyan hospital. And they're going to go back now because that attack is now over. But there was another attack in Beledweyne, next to the governor's mansion or house. And the suicide bomber struck a restaurant. And 6 people died in that. Now, the thing about it is Al-Shabaab has been kicked out of the towns, but it's able to operate swift, slick operations like this outside of the towns. So it's managed to sort of hide away and behave like a real guerrilla movement, and that is exceedingly dangerous. But I've been reading studies that, you know, some terrorist organizations eventually die out as the cause dies out and as the authorities manage to get at the leadership. But when you get groups like IS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab, they don't seem to die out. Even though they get defeated in the urban areas, they melt into the countryside and are able to continue with operations like this. And if they are indiscriminate and inhuman enough, they just get at the civilian population, and isn't that the job of the terrorist organizations? It's very sad.
Yeah, and what is the latest coming out of Nigeria?
Well, you know, Muhammadu Buhari, I think it's safe to say still that he has spent more time in a British hospital this year than at home, and actually in government. He's cancelled 2 cabinet meetings, 2 of the last 3. Now he has another term in terms of the constitution. And there's some talk that he might try to run for a second term. Now, the All Progressive Congress, the ruling party, is saying, or members are saying, If he tries this, there will be open rebellion. We just simply can't have it. You know, they are due for elections in 2019, the same time as us. So if we think we have a leadership problem, they have one in spades. But the fact is, the members of that party, the ruling party, are jostling to replace him. And there's names coming up and that sort of thing, which is quite unusual in Africa. You don't hear of that at this stage. But so they're going to have political ructions. Hopefully he has good sense to realize, look, I'm not that well. I simply can't be the president. But men in power don't behave that rationally.
African leaders never wanting to let go of power. Nonetheless, John Jacques, thank you so much, sir, for joining us. Ademe.